Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Abel.
Morning. I can't see a thing. I'm sorry. I just can't see. We've had an awesome weekend. Myself and Dan and little Elizabeth and all these guys here at the front. We've all been at Lampley House this weekend for a revitalised weekend. It's been very, very exciting. More exciting, I think, than I've seen a revitalise happen before. I don't know if you remember, I think it was at the end of May we did a revitalise, and then Dan and I did the Sunday morning here, and all these crazy guys got up and were dancing on the stage. Well, it was kind of like that over the weekend, and this was the first revitalise of the year, so I can't imagine what it's going to be like by the time we get to the end of the year. And May comes, it's going to be absolute crazy Jesus-ness. But that's cool. So it's been really, really good. But I just felt like actually this morning when we were in worship, Jesus just wanted us to stop there, have a little bit of teaching, and then crack straight back on with it. So that's what we're going to do, basically. So if we're all sitting comfortably, we're going to Luke 5, which you can all laugh about, and I'm quite thankful Pastor Paul's not here. But we're just going to stay there for a few seconds, because there's something over the weekend that really caught my eye, and I want to share that with you this morning. So Luke 5, and we'll go from verse 1. Yes, we will. On one occasion, Jesus was standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and the people were pressing closer to him to hear God's word. He noticed two boats left at the water's edge by the fishermen who were cleaning their nets. He boarded the boat belonging to Simon and asked him to push away from the shore. Then Jesus taught the people as he sat in the boat. When he had finished speaking, he told Simon, "Row out into deeper water and cast your nets for a catch." So if we go back to verse 3, it says, then Jesus taught the people as he sat in the boat. Yeah? Jesus saw Simon and he got into his boat and he taught them. And then he said, row out into deeper water and cast your nets for a catch, okay? He sat there, he spent time with them, he taught them, and then he instructed them. Yeah? Jesus knew that they had been out all night and being unsuccessful in their catching of fish, yeah? And so he spent time with them, he taught them, and then he instructed them to go out further and to do it again. Yeah? And so because he had spent time with them, because he had taught them, they were ready, yeah? And their response comes in verse 5. Master, Simon answered, we have worked hard all night without catching anything, but I will let down the nets again only because you say so. Yeah, and I believe that's because Jesus spent time and he taught them. He prepared them. He taught them. And so when he instructed them and said, go once more and cast your nets, they were like, yeah, because he built up that expectation. He built up that faith. He built up inside of them that they were then ready to go and say, okay, we've been absolutely slogging, working hard all night, but we'll go again and we'll do it again because you've said so. Yeah? Can you imagine their response if he hadn't sat in the boat and he hadn't taught them first? Do you reckon they would have went? I don't know. It just really struck me that he sat and he taught them first, yeah? And so that's what we're doing this morning, yeah? Worship was awesome this morning and it was kicking off and we were breaking through and we were going somewhere. But I just felt actually God was saying, no, I gave you something. You're to teach and then we're to go even further. We're to go even deeper. Yeah, because there's an understanding, because there's an expectation, because there's more that we know we can have and we can get. Cool. That was pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Cool. So he taught them. So we need to get some teaching in us. And I've lost my page because I shut my Bible. That was so silly. So yeah, we need to get some teaching and then we can go even deeper. So, we're going to I'm going to jump around quite a bit, so if you can, keep up, but don't worry. Mark 1. Yes, Mark 1. excuse me, sorry. We're in verse 15. It says, "It is time," he said. "God's kingdom is now within your reach. Turn away from your lives of sin and believe the good news that you can have a new and better life." Okay, this weekend we've been sacrificing ourselves, basically. We've been sacrificing ourselves, our flesh, our lives, our times, our possessions, everything we possibly have. Because we've been saying, "Jesus, we are 100%, we want to live for you, absolutely nothing else, and therefore nothing can get in our way, because we are sacrificed to you. Because we are saying, we have this new and better life, therefore we're going to live in it. We're not just going to stand, we're not going to wait, we're going to live in the new and better life that we have right now." And so that's what this weekend for us students have been about. And I believe this morning that's what it's about as well. But actually, as we come, as we say, we are giving ourselves as a sacrifice. We are no longer living for ourselves, but we are living for Jesus. We are having this new and better life, and we're in it. Yeah, it talks in Luke 9 about that there is a cost to following Jesus, yeah? Luke 9:23. It says, "Jesus then told them all, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, he will have to deny doing with his life what he wants. He will have to take up his cross of sacrifice every day in order to follow me. For whoever wants to live his life for himself will lose everything. But for whoever is prepared to sacrifice his life for me will find true salvation.'" Okay, and notice it says in verse 23, "He will have to take up his cross of sacrifice every day in order to follow me." Yeah? And then verse 24, "Whoever is prepared to sacrifice his life every day
for me will find true salvation." Yeah? True salvation. It talks in, I'm flitting around because I'm trying to get this in so we can get on with more worship and go further and further. It talks in Romans 5. It says, 5:10, it says, "We used to be God's enemies, but now we have been reconciled to him through the death of his own son. His death has brought about our reconciliation. We can be confident that the life he has given us will continue the work of salvation within our lives." Yeah, there is a work of salvation, okay? We get salvation when we say, "Yes, Jesus, we love you. I believe you're my saviour and I want to live for you." But then there's a work of salvation. And in that last passage in Luke 9, it says, you know, you'll receive your true salvation if you sacrifice yourself every single day. Yeah? In 1 Peter 1, it says, "Meanwhile, because of your faith in him, God shields you by his power until the full realization of the salvation that shall be revealed at the end of time." In 1 Peter 1:9, it says, "For even now you are in the process of receiving the objective of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Yeah? There's a process that we're all in. There's a journey. You know, we all say that we're on our journey with Jesus. We're in our Christian walk. And that's true. There is a process that we're all going through day to day because we're waking up and we're sacrificing ourselves.
Day after day. And we're making a conscious decision every day to say, "Yeah, Jesus, I want to live for you. I want to honour you with all that I am and all that I do." You know, Jesus gives us absolutely everything. Therefore, actually, it's all his, because he's given it in the first place. Yeah? I mean, this is... Yeah. So, let's just have a breather. Okay, I'm ready again. So, salvation, it's that relationship.
It's that process, day to day, sacrificing ourselves, yeah? I'm going to share... Yeah, I will. I'm going to share something, okay? There's your scriptures for this morning. We've battered them out quite quickly, so I hope you've noted them all down. But, like, when... You all know my little baby Elizabeth is here with Chris this morning. Chris is being a great nanny, babysitter, whatever you want to call her. Just keeping her nice and quiet. We're loving that. Good girl, pudding pie. Yes, when Dan and I went into hospital to have Elizabeth... it wasn't the easiest time in the world. We had a few unexpected problems, which is all good. Jesus has healed them. But first of all, she was late, which really wasn't that great. Elizabeth was 12 days late, and we actually had to be induced in the end because she was just too comfortable. And so we induced her, and then she came out extremely quickly, which in itself I thought brought its own problems because it just went so quick. So we actually had to go. We had to consent to have a cesarean and go into theatre and stuff. She did come out in the end naturally, but it took a bit of persuasion. And so anyway, she got out. And that was on the Tuesday night at 11 o'clock at night. And by Wednesday midnight, she actually threw up some green stuff, which green is bad because it means it's below the gut. And so the paediatricians were there and everyone was worried. And they took her away and poked and prodded in every possible place, bless her, and attached her to, I think, every machine possible. And then they came back about half an hour later and said, actually, she needs to go to Leeds Hospital. The surgeons would like her there close so they can look at her and all this. And so we were like, okay, that's not so great. I'm panicking now. You know, I phone Dan and he comes to hospital and tries to calm me down. And we're panicking away. But actually, there wasn't a panic. You know, yes, it was a shock. And yes, okay, we got upset. But there wasn't the panic that there should have been, if you like, in me or in Dan. And when they were like, yes, she needs to go to Leeds, we had to get a transport team from Barnsley, so we had to wait for that. And then they took her off in this box. It looked all very scary. But Dan went ahead of her. So she had to travel on her own to Leeds. She's very independent. And she went to Leeds all by herself. I'd never been to Leeds at this point. I was like, man, you're going for me. And so she went to Leeds, and I had to wait in hospital till the next day. It was lunchtime before they could transfer me over to Leeds Hospital because I was still a patient. And she was with Daddy for a while. But again, there wasn't the panic there should have been. The nurses, the doctors were, you know, they were concerned. They were very concerned. And like this lady came and drove me all the way over to Leeds. And I chatted to her the whole way there about street angels and youth angels, you know, and church. It was like, oh, you can get involved. You can do this and this and this. There was no, like, oh, my word, your baby's in hospital. Are you okay? Well, there was none of that. And there was no panic. And there was a scripture that God gave that Wednesday morning that is the reason for me why there was no panic. And it's in 2 Samuel. And it says, is not my house right with God? Has he not made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part? Will he not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire? Yeah? And it's because, it's occurred to me this morning, but it's because I am sacrificing myself every day in having that relationship, and I'm working through my salvation. I'm in that process, that I could rely on that scripture and say, yes, I have an everlasting covenant. I understand, God, what you are saying and actually what is available and what I have access to, because every day I'm accessing it. Whereas if I had just, you know, 5 years ago when I gave my life to Jesus, if I had just said, okay, Jesus, yes, I give my life, I believe you're my saviour, and then kind of tucked away that free gift and I hadn't accessed it every day, and I wasn't working through the process of my salvation. And I wasn't saying, yes, Jesus, every day I want to honour you. Yes, I'm in love with you. Yes, I'm, you know, if I wasn't reading his word and actually growing in who I am in Christ, then that scripture would have meant absolute nothing to me when I was in hospital with Elizabeth. I would have panicked my butt off. I'm sure I would have. And I wouldn't have known where to stand on. But because I'm in a process, because I'm accessing my salvation and I'm using it and I'm developing it, I can rely on his word. Do you get what I'm saying? Is this coming across in a kind of way that practically we all have to access every single day. We have to access heaven. We have to access Jesus. We have to utilize what is inside of us. We have to stir up the Holy Spirit and the gift that is in us. We have to say, yes, this is my salvation. Therefore, you know, it was my right to stand in that hospital and say, Elizabeth is mine. She is my promise from God. And absolutely no way is anything going to happen to her. It was my right to stand there and say, I have an everlasting covenant. I 100% believe that she is my gift from Jesus because I can stand on his word. You know, her name alone means God is my oath. You know, God is my promise. And it's her promise, his promise to me, because I'm in an everlasting covenant. I'm in a working relationship with him. I'm actively accessing him every single day and using the gifts that he's given me. I'm developing my gift of salvation. You know, we all have that gift. That's great. It's free and it's brilliant and it comes right at the beginning. But if you just shove it in your cupboard, like an ornament that your grandma gives you. You know, my grandma used to always give me stuff from my bottom drawer, always. And she was like, right, this is for, you know, when I'm like 18, she's giving me like steak knives and things, you know, as presents. She's like, for your bottom drawer, love. You know, you'll need them one day. And, you know, I end up with this drawer of stuff that I'm like, oh my word. But do you know what I mean? If I just shove them, you know, if you just shove it away, your gift, and you don't use it and you don't do anything with it, because you're like, oh, that was a lousy gift, I'm not really bothered about it, or you forget about it. Actually, when you are in times and circumstances, can you stand on that word? Can you 100% believe in it? Yeah. Or if you know, like my grandma, she gives me some weird things. Bless her, I love her, grandma. I love you, Gran. But, you know, she does give me some weird and wonderful things. And sometimes you feel, okay, I just need to wear this when she's around, or I just need to get this out of the cupboard when she comes to visit so it looks like we're using it. You know, you must all have that. I'm sure we all do. And it's like, actually, do we do that with our salvation? Oh, it's Sunday. I'll just get my gift out today. Oh, time for God encounter. I'll just get my gift out. That's if I can be bothered to go. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, are we just doing it because there's a meeting or because there's something going on? Or, you know, for students, you know, oh, Mum, I'm in the CU, so it's all good. You know, I'm absolutely fine because I'm in the CU. Okay, that's great. But are you actively using it every day? Are you actively developing your gifts? Because, you know, it's great to reassure your parents that, you know, you're meeting with Christian people and saying, yes, I'm in fellowship, we're fine, I'm not going off the rails. But that's not enough. We need to be accessing it every day. We need to be working through the process of salvation so we can have the full realization of it. You know, there is so much more. Like he said in, where did I read from the beginning? Mark. We have a new and better life. You know, we have access to that and we have access to it right now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to do anything else. We have access to that new and better life right now. And that's what we're living in. That's what we're working like our process of salvation for. Yeah? That's the whole point. Surely. I don't know what else to say, but surely that's the whole point. We access it every day and we live in it right now. You know, I don't want a gift given to me that I can't use till I'm 90 or till I'm dead. You know, that's ridiculous. I mean, how boring is that? You want to use it right now. You want to be developing it. You know, you get given a gift, but there's so much more to it. When you get into the word, when you meet with Jesus, you get more gifts from him. You understand how to use them, how to develop them. Be quiet, pudding pie. Mummy's talking. And you get to use them and you get to develop them, and more comes out, more and more comes out, because he, you know, he fills you with the Holy Spirit. He gets you speaking in tongues. He gets you to pray for healing. He gets you to do more and more things. And you have more confidence to do more things because you're knowing who he is. And so you say, well, it doesn't matter if I'm not prepared to preach, I will preach. It doesn't matter if you haven't shown me, you know, this person who needs healing in a 2-hour Shundai session this morning, I'm just going to have the guts to go and heal them and pray for them because I believe it will work. Pudding pie. We are having issues up there. So there's a process, there's an act, there's things we have to work out in our salvation to have the full realization of it, to recognize that actually what we're given at the beginning when we say, Jesus, you're my Savior, that's not it. There's more. But we only get more if we're accessing it every day. We only get more if we're accessing heaven and saying, yes, I'm going to pull down heaven onto earth. I want to live in that heavenly realm. I want all my riches in heaven. I want them now. I want my provision. I want my healing. I want my love, the comfort that God has promised me. I want all of that now. And I don't want to wait for it. And we get it when we access heaven, when we work through the salvation, the process of our salvation. Yeah? There's parts to it. Cool. So are we going to go deeper now in our worship time? Are we going to celebrate Jesus in a new and better way because we know we have a new and better life? Yeah? He has taught us, so therefore we can go deeper and we can get our groove on. And get deeper. Cool. Worship people. I don't know where you are, but I'm done. Cool. So we're gonna celebrate Jesus. We're gonna worship him. We're gonna respond to that in our worship time. And have a bit of a party, I feel. I don't know. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.